What's up, everybody? It is that time of the year again for us to talk game of the year. We are Press X to Start, and we are a gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games for everyone, and we at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our discussions on news, reviews, and all things video games. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wichita Wood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because of be watching niggas, a.k.a. Pan Am's baby father.
Ooh.
Wait.
Marcus, you can't force yourself on women like this. She has shown no requital.
Hey, she made her choice. You have to live with it, Sean.
Let me not go down this rabbit hole. I am Sean MF Ross.
And what the MF stands for?
Mary Facebook.
Mary Facebook? Oh.
That too, sure. Why not?
Okay.
Is that like a Christian's mingle? Yeah,
I was literally going to say the same
thing. Christian niggas only. Not Christians only.
When Black Planet meets Christian Mingle.
You want to ride some dick for the Lord?
Oh, God. What the fuck, Marcus?
With that, I am DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Baptist. We all don't share the same sentiment as Marcus. A.k.a. Did you know?
What?
This is new because I didn't even know this. UK gangs are reportedly stealing PS5 consoles from delivery trucks. While in motion.
What's all this?
Yes. This is some legit Fast and the Furious shit.
Run the console, bruv.
You got one of them pre-trolley fives, is it?
Pre-trolley fives.
If you didn't know and you couldn't tell, we're actually pretty popular in the UK, so they're probably going to love this, or we're not going to be popular in the UK anymore.
Our numbers in the UK are about to drop exponentially.
Hey, you know how niggas dropped Valhalla after Cyberpunk came out? They're like, I don't want to play with you anymore.
They could be sitting there like, none of that was funny. Anyways, the Times has initially reported that at least 27 different incidences of gangs breaking into fast-moving lorries to steal various expensive items has come up. This includes PS5, TVs, cosmetics, mobile phones, and cigarettes.
Oh, they're
stealing that Fenty over there.
Yo, that is wild. And like the screenshot they show is of the typical Fast and Furious scene where there's a some kind of sports car. And it's like fit just under a truck that's on the highway.
Is Vin Diesel involved in this?
That's PlayStation PS5.
No, it was Jason Statham.
Yeah, it's Statham. Because we know Vin Diesel wouldn't be able to do a UK accent if he tried.
Is that an Idris?
For our
that's wild.
Friends stateside, a lorry is an 18-wheeler. Or a tractor trailer.
Right.
This is true. Those are all facts. Mm-mm.
Now introduce yourself, Cam.
What's up, everybody? This is Cam. Coming back to the podcast again for the Game of the Year episode. I don't think I was at the last one, so.
Yeah, you weren't.
Yeah, nice turn of events. Hello. Good to see you all again.
How you got more time for us after your son is born? You don't make no sense, nigga.
It's because when your child comes to the earth, you're like, oh, man, who's going to take care of me when I get older? And so as I get older, I'm like, what podcast is going to take care of me as I get older? And I'm back into this child's life.
This nigga found out we in the top 10 UK gaming podcasts and decided to show back up in the life.
Yo, he brought Chick-fil-A.
Yo, it was the moment y'all became award winning that I was like, oh, I need to get back in these niggas' lives ASAP.
Hey, I'm going to do the speech for y'all. I'm going to do the speech.
Right. I didn't show up no podcast they might be all onto year something. Until that award winning podcast. I was like, hey, let me do the interview.
Let me get my suit ready.
Back then, they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all want me.
Anyway.
But, yeah, we're all introduced now. So it's that time, like I said earlier, at the end of probably what was the most bizarre and tumultuous year in the gaming industry. I can't think of a year that was worse or weirder than this one for the industry. But
2008
was worse than this one.
He's just throwing out a year. He's being a jackass. No,
Man, the only one I can think of is probably when everyone started doing games as a service. And like Overwatch and loot boxes. Like the year microtransactions came on the scene.
Right. But despite all that, you know, we've made it to this point, and there have still been some bright spots, and we're going to talk about those with our respective Game of the Year lists. And then once we're all done with that, we're going to give some extra Press X awards, including the Player Choice Awards, which some of you guys voted for. So
thanks.
Before we do that, we've got some people who are not on the cast this week, Doug and Jordan, and these are their personal lists. So, Jordan, he has Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remaster.
I thought about buying that. I seen it for $20.
Yeah, he said it was really good. Cyberpunk 2077. Now he's playing on the Series X, so there's probably a good reason why it's there.
I like the disclaimer.
Right, yeah. Doom Eternal.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And Assassin's Creed Valhalla is his top game of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Doug... He only has three entries here.
Surprising entries, actually.
He has Animal Crossing. Now, we either think that he has a secret Switch.
When did he get a Switch? Like, right. When did this...
How did he play Animal Crossing?
Or he put that game here because of the clout of the game. Mm. Either way, we gonna let it rock.
Alexa, play Migos.
Then, he got Ghost of Tsushima, which he made a disclaimer for saying he put it there grudgingly.
Mm-hmm. Did he not like that game?
He thought it was fine.
Yeah. He thought it was just fine, though.
It's just that was one of the better games he played this year that was new.
Apparently not, because it's not his number one.
Well, it was more so because the story didn't really speak to him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
You know what? I don't remember him playing Last of Us either. When did this happen?
No.
Now, for
last, I think Enrique played Last of Us. Oh, I think you watched that.
Last of Us 2 is his personal game of the year out of the three, and he watched his husband play it. Mm-hmm. So he at least had a strong backseat experience.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm immature.
Oh, no.
Love you, mature.
I
hate you, Marcus.
I didn't make the joke.
Just edit all this out. Oh man.
Well, now with that out the way.
Oh, my God.
Quiet coyotes.
Yes.
Quiet coyote. Wait, did y'all see Soul?
Yes, I did. That's why I was like, ooh.
I did.
I watched Wonder Woman instead, unfortunately.
Talk about disappointment.
But all right, so now we're gonna get to we're gonna get to the rest of our list. So starting out with me, number five for me is Spider-Man Miles Morales. It's number five for me because it was a really good game, but it is a lot of more of the same for you know, the first Spider-Man game we got in, was it 2018? So it's not really like reinventing the wheel in any way, but they did a good job of justifying this story and telling a cool story for Miles and, you know, adding enough little gameplay things here or there, like Spider-Man's or Miles's Venom powers and everything. So it was a rock solid game. And thankfully, it didn't just feel like a DLC, but actually, you know, just a solid new entry. Number four for me, Persona 5 Royal. Now, I'm a huge Persona fan. Persona 5, I believe, was on my list 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Royal is kind of like the Game of the Year edition of Persona 5, but at the same time, they also added enough new stuff into this game where it feels like a completely different experience. Wow. So they did a good job of justifying a further expansion of this game. What they decided to add to the game actually helps the story be more coherent. They do more with certain characters that they kind of neglected in the first time around. And, I mean, this game has to be on my list because I sunk like 300 hours into it and I platinumed the game. So
you platinumed the game?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Wow.
I didn't know
yes,
that.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah. This game was my time sink of the year. I don't think I played any game more this year than Persona 5. Next up for me, Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's well documented at this point that Final Fantasy VII is quite possibly my favorite RPG. And it was the game that really...
Hey, that's only because you haven't played Parasite Eve, but continue.
Or Front Mission 3.
Exactly.
Sean, you're the only person who's played Parasite Eve. Oh, God. Which is why you're never getting a remake. But
they're like, huh, one sale. We got one sale this game.
Final Fantasy VII, I do feel like it is a bit overrated in terms of just its overall legacy, but I love Final Fantasy VII. And the fact that they were able to do this remake and actually stick the landing, you know, it's not a perfect game. There are certain things that they skimped on in terms of presentation, but just overall in terms of telling like a very unique story, which kind of acts as a ode or a homage or a love letter to the original story, while also kind of trying to do something with the narrative of fighting the future and fighting the predetermined narrative.
They would have never been able to meet whatever hype had been generated since.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And like the score was great. The way that they updated the fight mechanics to make it feel both like the old game while also bringing that kind of Final Fantasy 15 flash to it was really cool, and it has me really excited to see where they can continue to go with this story. So shout out to Square Enix for doing that and landing it. Number two for me, Ghost of Tsushima. At this point, if you've been listening to the cast, you've heard our review cast, you've heard us talk about it while that game was like out and it was new, so I don't really have anything new to say about it. Ghost of Tsushima is a great game. And in any other year, if my number one hadn't come out, it would probably have been my game of the year, but it's a fantastic game. And then my game of the year, shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, is The Last of Us 2.
Not Animal Crossing?
What? I don't play baby boo-boo games.
I'm going to send Tom Nook to your house.
But yeah, I mean, The Last of Us 2, they're... may have been other games this year with more distinctive art direction, some more groundbreaking fight mechanics, but this game, in terms of just a narrative and overall experience, nothing this year touched it for me. And it was the only game I think that I've ever played where when the credits were rolling, I just kind of sat there staring at the screen speechless, and I had to collect myself because I just didn't know what to do with myself when that game ended. But
I did the same with Gundam, I understand.
So yeah, passing it off to Sean.
Man, mine isn't in any particular order because I don't think I had like a definitive thing, maybe. I mean, like Apex Legends is of course still on there. I haven't played it in a while just because the PS5 came out. So, of course, I've been playing, like, all the new stuff that came with it. You know, Astro Room, Demon Souls, Spider-Man, all that good stuff. But I still try to get in, you know, Apex Legends when I can.
Okay.
Ghost of Tsushima was a very satisfying game to play, like, just overall. Maybe the collectibles were a little bit extraneous, but... that was, you know, not bothersome because of how fast the fast travel was, even on the PS4. Like, they did fucking magic with this game somehow. The narrative possibly could have been better. Like, I feel like we could have cared about Jin Sakai and his band of merry mates and his crew, you know, a little bit more. But
his Suicide Squad.
Yeah. But I can't see anybody having any major complaints about Ghost of Tsushima other than... It could have been shorter, maybe. I feel like it dragged on in the middle just a little bit.
The people were too Asian.
There's too many too many Asian people in this game.
Where's the diversity?
I don't care if it's in Japan.
What about the white people?
Streets of Rage 4, like seeing this on somebody else's list, I was like, oh yeah, I did play this year, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Streets of Rage 4 was a very enjoyable game as well to play. I just wish y'all were into more retro games. I'm actually surprised the other person is even playing this game, but you know, I'll contain my rage. No, the
Streets of Rage.
The representation in this game was pretty good. I mean, it was like a half black cast. It controls solid. It was they put a lot of TLC into this game. It wasn't a slap up thing where they were just trying to cash in on the name Streets of Rage.
That's good.
And then, between these two, you know what? I'm going to put The Last of Us 2 as number two, surprisingly. There's nothing I can really say about The Last of Us 2. I mean, it tugged everybody's heartstrings. I was distraught within the first 2 hours after they killed Joel. Wow. I didn't want to. Granted, Joel is not a good person. He deserved that shit.
Yeah.
However, this was that scenario that I always put forth with Walking Dead. We only like, what the fuck is his name?
Rick.
Yes. Rick. You see, I fell off of that shit a while ago. We only like Rick's crew because we follow them first. You always attach yourself to whoever's story you see first. Mm-hmm. Shit, America is the villain in the world, but you know.
Not wrong.
So, I mean, I don't know. I played it twice. I platinumed it. I enjoyed it, but I don't know if I'd play it again. They'd have to add more.
You also played it twice, so
yeah, you know. I mean, I played the first one a couple times as well. It would be nice if they had another DLC similar to Left Behind.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
And I guess my number one, which was, you know, it got the perfect. I think this was one of the only games that got a perfect score this year, or one of the very few games that got a perfect score, was Spelunky 2. I need to get back into that, but I'm trying to finish up Cyberpunk and all the other games, but.
I'm not surprised that this is your number one at all.
Yeah.
No, very on brand.
Like, I mean, funny enough, I looked at how many hours I had into this at, you know, the original lease. It was a couple hundred hours. The only other games that I had more hours in was, I think, Binding of Isaac, which was like ridiculous amount. Yeah, and I played that a lot on the PlayStation as well as the Switch. I bought it on the 3DS. Like, so I bought the game like three times.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
But Spelunky 2, you know, or the first Spelunky was third as far as, you know, how much hours I played. But it's not a game that's meant to be played as much as an Apex Legends. This is a single player game. So, you know, if you like platformers, if you like roguelike games or anything that'll just test your skill level, not like, you know, let me not throw out shots. A Gundam, you know. But no. Go try it out. I mean, DJ, we played the first Spelunky. You were trash at it.
We're not comparing it to Gundam, though.
But, why you gotta bring up old shit?
But I mean, no. That's my list. That's my list.
Okay. DJ?
Speaking of Gundam.
Trash.
That's on your list.
My caveat is that these games are separate from Gundam because Gundam is always my game of the year. Always and forever.
Is Gundam your woman of the year?
As he looks around nervously.
Speaking of Gundam, actually, this is a random did you know. I actually have 427 consecutive days played.
My God.
Of Gundam. And the only reason why it is not 429 is because I forgot playing fucking Cyberpunk. So, fuck. Anyways.
My perfect attendance, no!
So, my games of 2020. Oh, this is 2019. So, actually brought up 2019 just to see like what my games were for last year. And I had Dauntless on there, had Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I had Anthem. I forgot Anthem came out last year.
Oh my God. I feel like 20 years ago.
Wow. Right? Yeah. Pokemon Shield and then Gundam Battle Operations 2, of course. My runner-up was actually Borderlands 3 and Remnants from the Ash. Oh, yeah. My God.
Me and DJ, we definitely played that together. Game.
Yeah. Well,
read your list now, nigga.
Caveat, I think play is a harsh word. I think we survived that game together.
It was actually fun. It was just hard as hell.
Yeah, it was, though. Okay.
Yeah.
So, my number five for this year was Final Fantasy VII Remake. I had a good time playing the game. I think, looking back on it, my only contention with the game was the ending and how Kingdom Hearts it felt. And yes, Final Fantasy was before Kingdom Hearts, whatever, blah, 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 I don't care. Anyways, it did that thing where it's just like, I feel like I should understand what's happening in the end, but I had to watch a video to understand what was happening in the end, and that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I will agree that the ending itself, if you didn't play the original Final Fantasy or you haven't like followed Final Fantasy VII lore, it would probably be like real confusing.
Right, right. So that was really my pain point for that game. Overall, I really enjoyed it. I love the combat. Like once I actually understood, like you can do combos in this game, I was like, I didn't expect that. And I will be doing those all the time. So Tifa was my main. So, yeah, like that's my number five. Like I really, really like that game. And I also can't wait to see what they do for the next one. And if they are going to stick with this, like, remake the future kind of thing. So we'll see. My number four is The Last of Us Part 2. So, you know, just to parrot what Marcus said, like, and Sean as well, this game had like a wonderful narrative. It was one of those things where after you beat the game, you really sit and think about like what happened and like what you experienced. And like, that's one of those things where like, although I don't put this as my game of the year, because I felt the narrative was the strongest thing for this game, I didn't think the other aspects of the game was as strong as the narrative. Mm-hmm. So I always put points towards like game mechanics and stuff and so on. So like my thing that I remember from Last of Us Part 2, one is a narrative, two was fuck stealth. So
you can burn for free.
Right. My hands don't need stuff.
Shoot that dog in the face.
My number three is Spider-Man Miles Morales. Mm. So this spot would have been Cyberpunk 2077, but Cyberpunk 2077 was Cyberpunk 2077. Mm-hmm. So it's not there.
Now look at you saying it properly consecutively.
Yeah, right? Look at you.
So Spider-Man Miles Morales, I enjoyed the game. I thought, for me, what made this game suffer was the marketing, because they weren't super clear on what exactly this game was.
Yeah.
It's not a DLC. It's not a full game. It's somewhere in between. And
right.
Coming off of the game, I felt like, yeah, this is something in between. Like this is a side story. And I really wish that this was a full length feature game. And like we got more with Miles, we got more with Haley. Finn. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Finn, shout out to
Finn,
Haley.
Sure. Yeah. But Haley, yeah. Mm-hmm. So like I'm looking forward to see what the Spider-Man sequel is and how this will wrap into it, because at the end, I guess spoiler alert to Miles Morales, we see Venom. Well, we don't see Venom. We're POVing Venom.
We see a symbiote, rather.
Yes, yeah, right. What if it's actually Carnage instead of Venom first? Anyways, whatever.
Oh, also, side note, shout out to this game being the cross-generation game that worked.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Well, I mean, this and Valhalla worked.
Oh, Valhalla too, yeah, yeah.
And,
so,
Watch Dogs.
Barely.
Was that cross?
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, it was? Oh, yeah, okay, never mind then.
Yeah. So, the major points for Spider-Man Miles Morales that I give it is the black representation. And I think this nailed it on the head in terms of what I wanted to see from a game and doing that. The issue that I had, and you know, it's that thing where we're going to include it just to make sure that it's there, but it should have been fleshed out a bit more, was the whole Black Lives Matter mural thing. We talked about that though. So that's my number three. My number two is Animal Crossing New Horizons. So this game, that we talked about this a lot. I thought that this was going to be the game of the year because this was the game of the year. And I think Nintendo didn't, you know, this is one of those things where Nintendo didn't understand or didn't know the gem that they had when it released. But then after it released, people were like, this is the game of the quarantine. Like, this is what we need right now. Like, this is our break from reality. And I think Animal Crossing, like on my list, Animal Crossing does the thing that games are supposed to do, which is to be escapist. And I feel like for the time that Animal Crossing came out, like it was the thing that everyone went to just escape the crap Trump was spewing, to escape the fact that Corona was just making us all, like keeping us all inside. And like a lot of people just wasn't used to that and they didn't know how to cope with that. So I think Animal Crossing deserves a special place for the games of 2020.
I agree.
My number one. Oh, also Animal Crossing, like there's the game side to it and then there's the meta side to it where people started using Animal Crossing to to make podcasts, to like Joe Biden had a Joe Biden island in Animal Crossing, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yep.
And then of course instead of being the temple's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? That's not how this works. And shut all that down.
We only condone harsh capitalism within the world.
Right. We are Nintendo. Anyways, my number one is Ghost of Tsushima. This game spoke to me on all levels. If you remember, I was very harsh on this game when seeing previews, because the stuff that they showed was pretty much just gray, white, and a speckle of red. And it was just like, why are you doing, like, this game is supposed to be beautiful, but like what you're showing me isn't beautiful. And for me, playing the game, I actually do appreciate how they previewed the game, because when I first hit the Golden Temple, I was like, fuck, I need to put shades on because this is fucking amazing. And I think it, for me, it just kept hitting those high notes. And like the combat system was something where at first I was like, I don't know if I like this. But then once I got the second stance and I realized, oh, I can like combo between the stances. And then the parry system was something that I at first didn't like, but then I kind of understood it more and realized that you can do that like in the middle of a combo, and like how flexible the combo system. Like, so for me, that was something that just blew my mind. And then another thing too is like the one thing that I loved and I wish I actually spent more time learning is the blocking system, because you can actually feint your attacks. And that was something that, you know, like it was something they added, but they never really played up. And it was like I slowly started to like figure out how that worked. And anyways, I love the combat system. That's a system that I really hope people look at and just kind of play with and evolve. So whatever. On top of all of this, they followed up Ghost of Tsushima with Ghost of Tsushima Legends. And it was that thing where it's just like, this is a single player game. Yeah, like this is a single player game. And it's like, they're going to make a multiplayer game. The last time we saw that was Uncharted. And that was just like, oh, this is cool. Like I played Uncharted multiplayer and I was like, this is fun. This is not something I'm going to play for very long. But
a lot of people really still play that.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah, exactly, I know. Yeah. Like my girlfriend was playing that for a brick.
Yeah, yeah.
As well as Factions for Last of Us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But like Legends was something that when it hit, everyone was just like, stop, you need to play this because this is actually like really good. And they pretty much just they released the thing. They said, you know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to release the raid and that's it. And they follow that plan. And it's just like the raid hit. And it was awesome. I didn't play it because I think I was playing something else.
We just got into other games because I haven't played it.
It was Genshin. You're playing Genshin.
Genshin. Yeah, Genshin gets honorable mention, but their loot or their microtransaction shit is fucking shitty, so I didn't put it on there. But yeah, Ghost of Tsushima. I love that game, and I cannot wait for the sequel.
Also, shout out to Ghost of Tsushima for giving us a majority of our content that wasn't Apex Legends content for a chunk of this year.
How dare you? How also, dare you? Just for that, just for that, five more Apex clips.
Also, shout out to Yuna and shout out to Kimiko. They're awesome.
Yes. All right, and Cam, close us out.
All right, so my game of the year, starting first with, or my list, starting at the bottom is Immortals Fenyx. So, this was a surprise addition, and it was added literally within a matter of a couple of days. So, it's on the Switch sale for like $20-something. I got it further reduced by using my coins, and I was like, why not? And I played this game. And
Wait. I don't think I've ever used my coins for the Switch. How does that? You just like,
yeah.
When you're like, buying it, you can apply it to this, you know, sale. You can buy it to the purchase. Huh.
Okay.
Yep. So the game was like originally $30. I got it for like $25. So even
how
better.
How many coins did you have by the? Do you remember?
I had like a little over 1,100. So I know you got more because you never use yours.
I need to check that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've used mine already. So yeah, but go ahead, Cam. Go ahead.
Yeah. So in playing this, so I already starting this year playing 2 out of 3 Ubisoft games. You can clearly tell this is the more superior one. I will bet my money that this game is better than Valhalla too.
They did say it's a more streamlined Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I will say out of all the Ubisoft games that came out this year, I can say this is probably the best one for a couple of reasons. Me and DJ are probably in the minority of people that Breath of the Wild didn't click for them or didn't really resonate.
That's true.
I just didn't like it. And then when I played Genshin Impact, I liked it for the reasons that Breath of the Wild didn't connect with me. However, because of Genshin Impact being very heavy on the microtransactions, it is a free-to-play game. The UI is god-awful. It broke the immersion for me. And so, insert Fenyx. I booted it up probably at 3 a.m. on the day after Christmas because I'm up, I have a baby. And within minutes, I create a character. If you know on this podcast, you know that's number one way to get me to play any game is let me create a character.
Literally any game.
Any game. It can be trash. And as long as I can make a character, oh, it's game of the year. and so I make my character and I get into the story and the world and I'm hooked immediately. I've been playing it probably nonstop from 3 a.m. up until the point where we started doing our pre-production for today's podcast. And one of the reasons why I love it is now videos I've seen comparing Breath of the Wild to Fenyx is Breath of the Wild is more in depth than Fenyx, of course. But one of the reasons why this game is great is because it has a combo system, no weapon durability. The mechanics of Breath of the Wild that felt like very burdensome are gone here. And so you just fully immerse in gameplay. And because the world is less punishing than, for me, the world's less punishing than Breath of the Wild, I feel more incentivized to actually explore the world. So, you know, in Breath of the Wild, you go somewhere and you don't got the right shield, you getting clapped like immediately, you know what I'm saying? And this is like the first 5 minutes of the game. And so here it feels less punishing. Combat feels more intuitive and rewarding. The puzzles for me make more sense. So I don't like to just do puzzles just because and be like, you know, I'm playing a video game. I don't want to be like punished. So here the puzzles feel more intuitive and they don't punish you. You can actually get through these vaults easily. So yeah. I like it. It is considered what I've played this year. This is a strong contender for number 5 for late entry. Next,
quick question.
Go ahead.
Before you jump to the next game, what did you think of the humor in the game?
I don't care for it, but yeah, the reason why I don't care for it is
I hate jokes.
It's the humor.
It feels like they're trying too hard.
Yeah, it's the humor of trying to be funny, and it's Greek mythology humor. So chances are you've seen it done better in 20 different forms of me. So, for example, it's like, yeah, it's Zeus and Prometheus, but I've seen a funnier Zeus and Hercules in the Disney movie.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
I've seen funnier versions or better versions of these Greek gods throughout the ages, like God of War and probably Hades even, you know, all those other games. So to me, it's just like, okay, whatever. But I'm playing it at night with the sound down, so that already lets you know. I'm just playing the game. So number 4 is Wastelands 3. So early this year, I finally beat XCOM 2. I like real-time strategy games. It's my jam, where people play like side scrolls or everything. I do real-time strategy, so I haven't beat Fire Emblem or anything like that. I love it. So here's the world. It's a dystopian universe. You get to make your own characters.
I sense a theme here.
Yep.
And then you have several different weapon types. And you have so much build diversity. It's crazy. So really? you can use melee weapons like swords and wrenches. You can use shotguns. You can use submachine guns. You can use sniper rifles. You can use heavy machine guns. You can use flamethrowers. You can use rocket launchers. All this to do like big damage. And you can do different types of builds where your submachine guns shoot out like frost damage because you're a tech type person. And then it has what you expect from role-playing games, where you invest in certain skills, where you can talk your way out of battles.
That's pretty cool.
It is what people expect when they play Fallout or Outer Worlds, where you could pretty much go the path of least resistance. It's what I was actually hoping from Cyberpunk. But the reason why this game is not high up on the list is because I haven't beaten it. And the reason why I haven't beaten it is because, like Cyberpunk, is a game that was clearly meant for PC. Mm-hmm. And so when you play it on console...
What console are you playing it on right now?
I'm playing on PlayStation 4.
Okay.
And so when you play it on PlayStation, the frame rate dips, locks out, and it crashes on you a bunch of times. And so I stopped playing it with just being in the mind of, oh, I'll get back to it when it gets patched. Mm-hmm. And then other stuff came out. But when I played it, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Next up is Streets of Rage 4. So here's how I ended up playing Streets of Rage 4. It's July 4th weekend. I'm in Atlanta with my brother-in-law. And our tradition is that whenever we get together, we
play. So you was playing at King of Diamonds, is what you're saying. You playing Streets of Rage 4 in the strip club.
Cam was like, I got my own queen at home.
Ooh, Streets of Rage 4. Let me not look at these breasts.
I got to play with Blaze both in person and out. Now coming to the stage. So what makes this game really good was, so my brother-in-law, we have tradition where every get together we play a PlayStation multiplayer game and we beat it.
Okay.
We just commit that we're gonna sit down and beat it. So
oh wow.
We were, prior to that, we were playing like Star Wars Battlefield 2. It has a multiplayer that you can play together, but it wasn't as like comprehensive as the online version. So I'm just like scrolling through the PSN store. I was like, oh, Streets of Rage. Let's play this. I remember it. Nigga, when we load that joint up, and that soundtrack kicks in. And you get the, I started playing with Axel's daughter, Shawty with the purple hair and the guitar. And he was playing with, what's the main white dude's name?
Axel, ain't it?
Yeah, Axel. It's Axel.
No, then what's the black dude's name? Oh, Skate, right? Or
Skate.
Yeah.
I think okay, his. Well, I was playing with his daughter.
Lil Uzi Vert.
Basically. Yo, everything, it was just phenomenal. It was literally like what I remember playing it on Sega, but more in depth. It gets super hard. We literally ran that joint back probably at least 12 times.
Wow. Yeah.
Each time trying to get better, get more characters. The bosses are fun, phenomenal. It was the best experience. And then literally the soundtrack, man, it literally just was like, when you think about that 16-bit generation, and you think about like when you're about to play Street Fighter and that Guile theme loads up, and you're like, yo, this is it. Mm-hmm. The game feels like that. And
fun fact, in Jamaica, they call him Gully. Go ahead.
Because that's what we do. He gets gully on him. It was, I'm not a big, let me play games for nostalgia's sake type person, but it was one of those games that hits me right in the feels, because last time I played the Street of Rage game, I was playing with my cousins, like, you know, like 10 or 12. And so it was just that full circle moment, but then it was done perfectly. So I love that game. That was fantastic.
Removing the nostalgia from it, just from a pure gameplay standpoint, mm-hmm. would you not play a similar game that you had no nostalgia connection to?
So I would say I would not. Because here's the reason. I heard River City Girls was in a similar vein, which is also highly rated. That's what I've heard. And when I look at the game, nothing about it draws me in to want to play it.
Yeah.
I saw
that's like almost 8-bit, though, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's an 8-book look, yeah. But go ahead.
And then I saw Battletoads, which kind of has a similar art style, but nothing about it draws me in at all.
Mm.
And I literally remember buying it in the PSN store off the strength of it being, actually for two reasons, off the strength of it being Streets of Rage. And I remember you mentioned it casually in the Slack for some reason.
Mm. Okay.
When you were
the
lurking.
One time of the year that I checked the Slack, I was like, oh, Sean said something. Right. So Sean said it must be all right.
You see how much weight your word holds, DJ?
If I had also mentioned about Streets of Rage 4, I'm pretty sure Cam would have picked it up a lot earlier.
He would not have played it.
I can't trust. This man's been playing Gundam for 2 years straight. I do not trust a thing.
Well, if I say, hey, this game is better than Gundam, then that's saying something.
I mean, that's
is
true.
It? Mm-hmm. Is it?
Well, because at this point, everything's bad.
Go ahead. What's your number two?
My number two is Final Fantasy Remake. It is the cyberpunk game that actually won it. Because it in my,
like the cyberpunk genre, people, not the actual.
Yeah.
No, he said what he said.
Okay. No, it is a cyberpunk genre. The world and everything, the look about it does what I thought cyberpunk would do, and with a sharper graphic.
I forgot that was like cyberpunk. Yeah.
So I've never played the original. And so I went into this blind. It plays like how I want JRP games to play, or RPG games to play from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Final Fantasy. What was it? The one with Noctis on them. I like them, but
15.
Yeah, 15. I liked it, but it was too action focused, right? And so here was like the balance between like that, like the action, the strategy, and the like active battle time system. I really liked it. This is how Square Enix RPG games should be played going forward. Now, because of Square Enix, they're going to change the battle system every game, unfortunately. But this is how it should be played from now on.
I don't know. They might stick with that for this one, at least, for the Final Fantasy VII games, at least.
I will say that it feels like they've been trying to nail a new RPG system since Kingdom Hearts, like, 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they've been, like, slowly like innovating and like trying different things in their games since then. I feel like this is the system that they're probably going to stick with, but
yeah, I hope we'll so see. One of the things I really love about this game was it found a way to make me care about NPCs. So in traditional RPG fashion, when you see NPCs, you're kind of just like, all right, am I going to buy something from you? Am I just pressing X to skip through your dialogue? Like, you know, but here it took characters that were in the 16-bit generation, and it kind of just was like, you know, one note characters, and really flushed
like
them out.
Like throwaway characters, yeah.
I really care when, what was it, Biggs died, when Jesse died. Like, I was distraught. I didn't care for Tifa, but it was more so Tifa felt fleshed out. I think I didn't care.
I think you mean Aerith.
Yes.
Because you were. Oh, okay. I was the only one on the Aerith train. Y'all niggas was over there.
Tifa. Oh, yeah, that's right. Waifu.
With basic tits McGee.
Don't you dare disrespect her.
I'm just kidding. I love Tifa too. I love them all.
But with Aerith, the reason why I realized why I didn't like her was like she felt fleshed out, fully realizing who she was, especially considering like her past, her history, and everything around that. I think she didn't resonate with me because of all these years of seeing like these Aerith memes and like what she meant to like the world and how her death was like the thing. And so finally seeing her, I was like, oh, that's it. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to remember Final Fantasy VII was the first RPG for a lot of people and the first time they're seeing a main character die in a video game.
Yeah, like
the way it happened.
It was like Ned Stark getting offed in season one, but like way before that was even a thing.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what else? I agree with DJ about I can tell this is where the Kingdom Hearts influence came in because the ending made no sense to me. And it wasn't until we were talking in the Slack and watching videos as well. And I was like, why do I have to do all this to understand the ending of a game? And I never felt like this about a Square game, except for Kingdom Hearts, which after, eight games, no one still understands what that game means.
Oh, see, the difference between that and Final Fantasy, though, is if you actually played Final Fantasy VII, you probably understand. With Kingdom Hearts, you could play the other games and still be like, I don't know what.
But if you happen to play all of the games.
Right. The phone games, the pachinko machine.
But you might still be lost.
Right. What I can say definitively is when the next chapter comes out, it is a day one purchase for me, which is now going to be my new, you know, it's going to be harder standard for me to do that based off of the current state of gaming. And then lastly, to get to my game of the year is Ghost of Tsushima. I echo everything that everyone else has said. I think one of the reasons why Ghost is the game of the year is, here's the thing. Everyone has won a samurai game. And my fear was that Ubisoft was going to do it first, and it was going to be terrible because I don't want a samurai game to play like
Assassin's Creed
Odyssey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or Valhalla. Yeah, yeah. Or I wouldn't be able feel to like handle it. A samurai. And this game achieved the power fantasy of a samurai. The world
level up your
sense.
Samurai sword.
Samurai Batman.
the other thing I really that really connected me was just, it's just everything was so minimalistic in a way that made sense. Like, I didn't have to go to my HUD to like turn off everything. It was like, no, we're going to turn off everything for you. We want to make this as immersive as possible. Like the idea of following the wind, it fits with the idea of one, just a beautiful navigation system, but with like Jin's character as he's going to these certain spots in nature to connect with himself to figure out what life means, what his destiny means.
It just sounds like some shit they would have done back then.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah.
It also makes cultural sense.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And I was just like, I feel this. And then Jin's quote-unquote descent from like the samurai path to being the ghost didn't feel like forced. It felt like out of necessity.
Right.
And it was like, as he lost stature with his uncle, he grew in stature with the people who he was actually really trying to help. And I felt that like when Jin lost the thing that mattered the most to him. So, for example, like
his horse.
Yes. Horse death. But then when his uncle was like, I'm ready to adopt you. Give it all up. I'm ready to adopt you. And, you know, like what that meant, like one, seeing how Jin felt like a coward because he couldn't help his dad. And then having his uncle step in to raise him and not judge him because of that one event. And then to have that so close and still for him to put that aside, it didn't feel like forced. It felt like the natural extension of his character where it was like, yeah, this is what he wanted, but he wants his people, his family, his nation to be free. Shout out to Lady Adachi. Like, I loved her character because one, it was good to see a female character that was strong in a way that isn't like an archetype of normal female strong characters. It was good to see someone being revenge, but then pull themselves back in a way that's reasonable. I like the plot twist of the revenge because for her to go through all that and find out it's her sister, like,
yeah,
yo.
Yeah.
And it makes sense for why her sister would be pissed given the time frame, their culture, where it's like marriage is the thing that like elevates you or takes you to the next level. And her sister's reasons made sense because it wasn't because... even though like her husband chose her because he loved her and all that, but her sister was like,
maybe she should have got some ass shots.
Well, it was, but it was, it was like the idea that you may have thought I had the better husband because my husband was rich, but my husband was like a sociopath and he was beating me and all this. And so like it made sense from a narrow standpoint. The stealth was trash. I mean, let's just get that out of the way.
I'm sorry. Did you say stealth?
Exactly. You know, but the combat was phenomenal. Like, man, like there's so much combat diversity that you weren't like, dude, let me just set the scene, then we'll move on. I would see the dudes from a far away on the road. I would be riding my horse. While I'm riding my horse, I would pull up, jump off the horse, critical strike, throw down the gas pellet, do the chain assassination, and then like go into the stands, like ready. And then you just like, flat, flat, like everything just felt right. It's one of the times in the game where everything feels right.
So you pulled up, hopped out, aired out, and made it look sexy. Is what you got.
He literally did exactly that.
Yep. Yo. You know, it's so funny that like you just saying that, and in my mind, I'm thinking like, I've never done that combo before. Like, my mode of engaging people is I see a group of people, I would pick off the stragglers, and then the ones that are gathered together, I just run up, throw my kunai, and then just crush them. And it's like, yeah, like, fuck, that's awesome.
And the fact that the enemies ran away because they were like, yo, everybody else is getting clapped. Finally, like...
Nobody ever got away from me. I shot them down.
No, well, yes. No, yes, my arrow won't miss. But it was like, finally, the enemy AI has the same psychology I would have if I saw a million of niggas that were way better than me get cut up by one dude, I'd literally be like, yo, fuck this, and let's get out of here. Like,
yeah. I'm handing in my letter of resignation
on the spot. And like,
none of this.
That was the only weakness of the game, besides, you know, some narrative stuff and some stealth, was the camera. Like, yo, you go into a tent and try to fight somebody, you were dying because the camera would.
There is a scene.
The camera was like, watch me whip.
There's a scene, I think I got a clip of me and DJ playing, because I still have ghost clips to upload, where we're running around killing people, and I run into a tent to go save somebody, and there's two enemies in there, and I'm like, oh my god, there are people in here, and DJ runs in to save me, like, yeah, the camera was some work sometimes.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that has been our lists for Game of the Year, and now we're going to go and give out a few Press X awards. Now, for the Press X worst launch of the year for a game or a platform, and we won't really talk about this, we're just going to give it out, and we already know who it is. It's Cyberpunk 2077. Absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
We can mention Amazon Luna.
Oh, yeah. So we have
that
on the list.
Exactly.
It was Amazon Luna, Marvel's Avengers, Watch Dogs Legion, and Cyberpunk 2077.
My Amazon Luna invite is still sitting in my inbox untouched. And I'll try anything.
Right. Exactly. Which says everything you need to know about how much Amazon Luna has worked out.
That's unfortunate.
Next up, best combat mechanics of the year. And the nominees are Cyberpunk 2077. That's a surprise, isn't it? Final Fantasy VII Remake, The Last of Us 2, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and Ghost. And we have all collectively decided on being Ghost. For the reasons that you've heard throughout our talks, there's just so much combat diversity. It's a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the award that you guys voted on, and we thank you for voting in the first place. We appreciate it. And we're going to keep doing this going forward.
Drum roll.
The Press X to Start Player Choice Game of the Year is The Last of Us 2.
Boom.
Read it and weep. Let's do it. How about them reviewers voting for this game, Cameron?
Hey, DJ, you should make a graphic for that.
Oh, yeah, I'll make a graphic.
Choice Award. Yeah.
It's going to be Gundam. That's what it's going to be.
Never mind. I'll do it.
And the runner-up was Ghost Tsushima, which,
I mean,
you know,
after all, Ghost was right there, and y'all still chose wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, look, nigga. You can be loud and wrong all day, so.
And that's my choice.
It is your choice. And lastly, well, this is less of an award and more of just kind of our own personal thoughts on the year.
Yeah.
What will gaming in 2020 be remembered for? And we're going to start out with DJ. What will it be remembered for?
I feel like on this list, I put we got Cyberpunked.
Mm.
I think Cyberpunk is the nail on the 2020 coffin, because this was the prince that was promised, and we got here, and it was the horse instead of the prince, and you're like, what the fuck? What happened? Where was the game that we thought we were going to get? Like, they did an excellent job marketing this game, and the game they market was not the game that the majority of people got, and it's just... It's a shame. Like, they're going to be sued now in a class action lawsuit. Like,
yeah,
it's wild. It's wild.
Mm.
Okay. Cam, what about you?
For me, it is Patched. And the reason why is I feel like for the games that I particularly tried to enjoy or I was invested in, it was the idea of releasing these games not finished and having to wait till they're patched. And for you to enjoy them. So, for example, going back to Wasteland 3, I love the game, but it was not made for PS4. And so I have to wait until it's patched in completely to be fixed. Cyberpunk, same issue. I actually try to like the game. The game fights me, and now I have to wait till next year when it's done being patched to actually enjoy it.
Mm. Yeah. Before I go on to Sean, I just wanted to be known, Douglas said that what he'll remember gaming in 2024 is disappointment.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, Sean.
It'll start out with the pandemic. Gaming exploded as far as revenue and profit Like, it's been getting more and more mainstream over the years, but it was just forced onto people as something to do during the pandemic. People can only watch but so many movies.
Even ESPN resorted to esports. They didn't have anything else to play.
There was a period of time where esports was the only sports.
Yeah, it's hilarious that... you remember, I don't know if you guys remember, article we did where they were building a stadium for esports.
Yep.
Hilarious. I don't know if it ever got underway, but damn, didn't get much use this year. But yeah, that and people are finally seeing the ugly side of scalping to the point where some governments, world governments, are thinking about making legislation, you know, to make it illegal to use bots to buy something.
Shout out to UK.
I've been saying this a few times. A lot of people are mad at Sony and Microsoft for not being able to produce a lot of systems. But I mean, that goes hand in hand with the pandemic, as well as for the first time, people actually have to compete with the bots. Normally, you just have to get up, go early, and get in line, you know, swing past the GameStop after work, or tell your spouse to go reserve some shit for your GameStop, Target, whatever. And now, you know, people are kind of mad at the manufacturers and the stores when they are trying to do something about scalping, you know, and bots, but you can't beat human nature. For every lock, there's a key. Yeah,
that's a bar.
Tenacious and very... and very very clever about getting what we want. So, you know, everybody will get a PS5 and an Xbox, you know, later on. Unfortunately, Sony built up a ridiculous amount of hype that it didn't even need, to be honest. It didn't even need, and I think it just frustrated people about something that was out of their hands, you know. But Yeah, that's me.
And for me, I will remember 2020 for controversy. Up and down the gaming industry this year, from the top of the year to the end of it, it was just marred by controversy on all facets. From the inclusion of, or the acknowledgement of Black Lives Matter toward the beginning of the year, to a lot of things being unearthed in terms of like bad working environments with sexual harassment and assault, or just toxic environments in general, to The Last of Us 2 having just one of the most controversial launches I've ever seen. All the way up to Cyberpunk 2077. Like, this year has had controversy for 2 years. And I don't know if it's been topped, or if, you know, I mean, it's always possible, but I hope it doesn't get topped, because just this was a rough year all around and gaming took a brunt of it. So yeah. So that has been our Game of the Year episode for Press X to Start. Before I throw it off to DJ, I really want to thank you guys, whether you're a new listener or you've been rocking with us for a while, I thank you for listening to us this year, because it's been a tough year for all of us here and for you guys, I'm sure. And the fact that you decided to take your time out to listen to us on a weekly basis means a lot. Thank you to the people in the UK who just discovered us and have, like, for the last 2 months, just listening to our podcast and getting us to a point where we're in the top 10 in gaming podcasts in the UK. We don't know where you came from, but we're not going to question it. Thank you. And I hope that you continue to listen to it and share. And kudos to all of you for making it to this point of the year. By the time this comes out, we'll be in 2021. So you survived 2020. Mad congratulations to you. And I hope that 2021 is a better year for you guys. And we will continue to bring you content and bigger and better things in the coming years. So thank you from Press X.
Also, thank you to all the people that voted for the Press X Player Choice Awards. That was really appreciated. It was kind of last minute thing that we threw together, and people actually came out for that, and we were all surprised, and thank you. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
This has been a glorious episode of Press X to Start. Presents talks about the game of the year.
I nailed it perfectly.
Before I do the thing that I do, I just wanted to make a note that this is our last podcast of the year. I mean, duh. We will be taking a break the weekend of January 2nd and 3rd. So the next podcast you will get from us will be the week of the 11th of January. Mm-hmm. So
if anything, you'll be hearing rambles and seeing clips from IG on us.
Right.
And
right.
We still have like a little we have a little PS5 based skit to drop. Yes. So there will be things.
Yes.
You won't be without us.
Right. So we didn't like die or anything or fall off the planet. But yeah, you know, just make sure that you like and subscribe and you tell all your friends and all your families and all the hated ones too. Because even them deserve to hear us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They do. But with that being said, we hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit counts. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com.
Also, subscribe to our YouTube page, please.
Yes, do that. That is essential.
And you're essential.
Wait, me or them?
You all.
Not us.
I don't like that answer.
All lives matter. I'm just
kidding. That's been 2020, y'all.
Ears matter.
All right, y'all. It's been real. See you in 2021. Uno out.
Peace.
Peace.